Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 083. Yes, this is Caffeination 83. Hopefully that you're hearing this over on the new Caffeination server. That would be caffeination.com, www.caffeination.com. I know there's been some confusion over this, and I'm really sorry about that. Hopefully everybody's found their way back, and hopefully you're listening to this relatively close to the time it's being published. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy the way this whole thing's gone down. I'll talk a little bit about it, try not to get into too many of the technical problems that we've been having in a little bit. But first up, we'd just like to say thank you to our sponsor. This show is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. Getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half-day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet you online. During your call, they can see your computer screen. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. All right, so that just about wraps up the whole sponsorship deal. Now we want to get down to the nitty-gritty, let you know exactly what's been going on here at the Caffeination headquarters. We'd like to think that this has been a kind of crazy week. Hopefully everybody's going to come back next week. I do realize that we lost probably around 40% of our subscribers after the move. Now, I don't know if that's all because a lot of the subscribers were on Podomatic, but we're trying to work it out right now, and so far the guys over at Podomatic have been pretty helpful with it. We're trying to get something called a redirect, so that means anybody who's subscribed in iTunes doesn't have to worry about it, because as soon as they go to update it, iTunes says, hey, you know what, it's moved over here. So everything gets fixed. We're just going to see if that works out with this episode, see if that shows up in all the different little resources online. Hopefully it works out. I know I've been getting a little bit technical lately, so we're going to try and keep it nice and low here, try and make sure everybody can understand what we're talking about. And yeah, I'd heartily recommend that people head on over to the new website. It is heads above the old one. First of all, because it's all me. So if you see something wrong on the website, please let me know. That's caffeination@gmail.com so I can fix it. There's going to be blogs over there. There's going to be posts talking all about kinds of crazy news that I find during the week, even when there's not an episode coming out that day. And also, there's a new section we're going to talk a little bit about later on called the recipes section. Now, I've gotten pretty good feedback on this already. What it is every time I talk to you about a recipe, about something that you can make with coffee or someplace that's really cool that, you know, sticks in my head, and, you know, I want to talk about it a little bit after the fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in the recipes section so that you can go there and all of them are going to be there. So right now, the coffee floats in there, and the black gold recipe that I've been working on is in there as well. You should see that by the time that you listen to this podcast. So hopefully that's up and working. And I do realize that the server was down just for a little bit. I mean, this is my luck. I spend all that time migrating from Podomatic over to the new server. Everything's going good. I get everything up, and I'm ready to throw the podcast up Sunday night. And the server's down. So I'm like, all right, great, because tomorrow's the first day back to work for my wife. It's the first day we have to drop the boy off in the morning. That's a great day to have to try and be really tired. So what I did is I left the computer on all night trying to transfer the file, came down at 5 a.m. and started the transfer up again, and it worked fine. And then the site was up and down probably around 6 or 7 times a day for the next 2 days, which of course is wonderful when you're trying to get people to move there. So hopefully everybody's seeing that, and apparently the guys from over at iPowerWeb, my current host, have figured that out, and everything's working correctly. So yeah, it's been kind of a crazy week so far. I mean, not only here on the home front with this being the first time back to work for Jen and everybody, but it's just been kind of crazy technologically speaking here too. As I was migrating over, because with all the stuff and all the files and everything, I kept screwing things up on the new server. So, like, somebody would go onto the page, and all of a sudden the Caffeination banner would be, like, 4 pages tall or something like that. And it was because I, like, missed a semicolon or something in the code. So that's enough of that right there. Hopefully everything is functioning fine, and I keep staring at the site and going, wow, I can't believe that this actually looks as good as it does. This is what I wanted all along. This is everything all put into one place. So if you look on the left-hand side, there's the About section, tells you a little bit about it. There's the About the Producer link up at the top, so if you want to know a little bit more about me, you can click on that. I don't know why you would. Then below that, we have a little NASCAR rear bumper thing going on. We have all the different places that you can find and subscribe to this show, from Podnova, Podcast Alley, NewsGator, MyYahoo, Google, Blueberry, talking about the PodSafe Music Network, Podcast Pickle. You can subscribe to a Zencast. You can subscribe with iTunes. Everything works. I checked it all out. And then over on the right-hand side, we have all our sponsorship information and all the different links that we wanted to talk to you about, all the different blogs that I read. I mean, this is going to be just such a great atmosphere. And please, if you feel like commenting on an episode, if you feel like you want your comments to get sent out there, you know, just register as a user, and you can put all kinds of crazy comments in. It doesn't take too long. Nothing's going to happen to your email address. It's not going to get sold or anything else. So we're encouraging people to comment on the episodes. Let us know what you think. Hopefully we'll start a dialogue up there. If enough users actually comment on the episodes and everything, we're actually going to throw a installation of a forum on there, so you're going to be able to see a little forum tab up at the top, and it's going to be like a bulletin board system. It's going to be great. But that's if we get enough people commenting. I mean, hey, it may happen, it may not. We're just trying to start small, but I have big plans. So, alright, I guess we should probably get on to the PodSafe Music to rock out this show, and I'm pretty excited about this one. I was just surfing around the PodSafe Music Network. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back into the folk rock section, because, you know, they had some pretty good stuff last time. It's usually pretty clean, usually pretty fun, rockin' music. And I was like, all right, that's the first band that they show there is the Dust Rhinos. Now, these must be much bigger than your every average day or everyday dust bunnies. These must be massive dust creatures roaming the steps. So I was like, all right, let's see what this sounds like. And they have two great songs. Now, we're only going to play one of them tonight, and then we're going to play a PodSafe favorite a little bit later on. But first up, we have the Dust Rhinos from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, and their song Jedi Drinking Test. Yeah, you heard me right. just listen to it. Give it a chance. It's a pretty good song. So, again, here's the Dust Rhinos with the Jedi Drinking Test.
Well, I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one lassie on my right, another on the left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. A long time ago, far away, I sat on a bar stool just drinking away. I couldn't hold it down, I guess I had too much. I felt a tremor in the force and then I lost my lunch. Woke up in a desert land feeling hot and sick. I saw a bearded man, he looked like some kind of hick. Slowly waved his hand and my pain was gone. He said, let's go see Yoda and I'll teach you the song. Beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one lassie on my right, another on the left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. We got on a starship and I flew off into space. He said his name was Obi-Wan, there was no time to waste. I have to get you trained before it's too late. So drink this bottle of whiskey and don't give in to hate. Train went on and I drank most of the bar. We had to stop up for supplies on the nearest Death Star. I learned to control my fear and hold my alcohol. Soon I was able to stand when Obi-Wan would fall. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one lassie on me right, another. Puppet in the eye and said, give me the test.
Okay, Shorty, bring on this test. I'll tell you how it ended. I'll tell you some lies. Let's just say that on this night, the force was on his side. I got all riled up, that threw me in the jail. I said, I don't believe it, you ought to say that's why I failed.
One pint of beer and one shot of scotch. One bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one lassie on the right, another on the left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch. One bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one lassie on the right, another on the left. I looked that puppet in the eye and said, give me the test. Yeah, I looked that muppet in the eye and said, give me the test. Well, I looked that little rump right in the
This is the Dust Rhinos with their song Jedi Drinking Test. Hopefully you enjoyed that. It has kind of a fun little tune to it, kind of cool to play around with. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Kind of a little tongue in cheek going on there, but I think it's good all the same. So hopefully everybody enjoyed that. Now we have a great tech tidbit section for you today. A whole bunch of different topics, a whole bunch of crazy stuff to talk about. We're not only going to focus on the console wars like we did last time. There is a couple things thrown out there, but you know, we're talking around the console wars, because I mean, everybody pretty much knows where I'm coming from. I don't have enough money to get all three, so I already made my decision. I got the Xbox 360. That's it. there can be no other discussion at that point. If my brother-in-law follows through with his plan and in a little while gets the PS3, in a very long little while, then maybe I'll be able to give you an accurate rundown between the two of them. But up until that point, the only kind of information you're going to get firsthand is on the 360. So, alright. Now, what we're going to talk about here is... We already talked all about the... if you look over in the link on caffeination.com, we talked all about our spiffy new digs. I gave you the rundown of everything that's on the site, so you can head on over there and check it out. And then what's in a name? The main problem with this changeover, starting with episode 81. On episode 81, the next day, I went to GoDaddy.com, who's the people that I registered caffeination.com with, and made one simple change that was supposed to forward caffeination.com to its present location. Now, something went wrong somewhere in that change. So I ended up staying up way too late a couple nights in a row trying to figure out what the problem was between GoDaddy and iPowerWeb. After that finally got resolved after 3 days, it was almost time to produce the next Caffeination. At that point in time, I realized that I didn't have all the same listeners that I had before. And I know everybody's really fickle, and you don't want to sit there and listen to static all the time. If the episode isn't there, you're going to go elsewhere for content. So hopefully we still have some of our loyal listeners who stuck around and actually followed us to the new server. Hopefully everything's going to work out. So again, if you're listening to this podcast on the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And if you'd like to send us comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to do, you can send that to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can just leave a comment on our page there. It should be kind of fun. All right, now, first thing we have here is Bickerfest 06. Now, in between the two consoles, like the two major consoles, we're not talking about the Nintendo Wii or anything yet here. We're talking about Microsoft versus Sony. So, now here's Bill Gates making kind of a stupid comment. And I found the story over at Engadget. Basically, he said that if Sony made 80,000 bricks, they'd sell well. Basically, there's enough people who buy it just because it's Sony, so that of course they're going to sell out. And he was also making a rather divisive comment, considering Sony couldn't make enough PlayStation 3s to sell. Originally, they were supposed to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million to release to the United States on opening day. Then, or on launch date, as they've been wont to call it. So then, it got cut down to around 1 million. And then it got cut down to around 1 million worldwide. And then it got cut down to around 88,000 in the United States. So a lot of the problems were because Sony kept, you know, overestimated their production capabilities. So and I could see where he's coming from with that. Maybe a little bit snarky, maybe a little bit smarmy of a comment, but still. And then you have on the other side, now I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but he won't care, and you'll see why. Ken Katagari, or Kutagari, or Tuka, I don't know. The guy in charge of Sony basically said he doesn't care about the rivals to the PS3 because people will pay the premium to get the PS3 because it simply is the best device out there. I was like, all right, well, that's pretty nasty. And he said, well, of course, Sony Europe, everybody in Europe will just have to wait till March till we launch then. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out for you, buddy. But, I mean, so far, plenty of good reviews have come in, and we'll be revisiting this topic again in a little bit. But I just wanted to kind of throw out there, I mean, this is really kind of schoolyard stuff. I mean, this is, you know, between two guys who are probably some of the most powerful men on the planet, you know, this is pretty low. This is pretty, you know, boring to have coming from them, but still. Then we have a little public service announcement. I know both of my parents have OnStar in their vehicles, and a lot of the people in the United States, at least, I don't know if it's available elsewhere. Have this system, especially if you bought Chevrolets. It's basically a safety system. You can push this little blue button and you can get roadside assistance. You can make phone calls, the whole nine yards. So basically, in 2008, all of the oldest OnStar systems are going to go silent because the people who operate the network, who operate the OnStar network, had two separate networks running at once. On one side, they had the analog network, which was the original one, and then they later phased in the digital one. So the digital one is so much more efficient, and of course, it's better because it's digital. Then they said, all right, well, we're going to just shut down the old one. By shutting down the old one, if you have any vehicle built prior to 2002 and select vehicles built prior to 2004, your equipment may just go dead. But here's the good thing. If it was built in between 2002 and 2004, there's a possibility that you might be able to get it upgraded so that it still works. Now, neither of my parents use the system, but I do. I have been in a couple cars that haven't, and they have, you know, they use the cell phone feature, which is pretty cool. I mean, you don't need a cell phone or anything. You just push the little button and say, call XYZ, or call, and you call out a number, and your car acts as a cell phone. So, I mean, it's hearkening back to the old car phone days where you had to have the thing plugged in, but still, it's kind of interesting. I just wanted to put that out there. Oh, by the way, the carrier is Verizon Wireless, so if you have a problem, you might want to complain to them, because I guarantee if enough people are still paying the bills for these OnStar things, they're going to say, well, what, you've been taking my money all these years, and then all of a sudden it's going to be, yeah, we're just not going to support you. I don't know about that. I don't have it in my vehicle, and that's all I really care about deep down, but still. All right, now we have a little video clip. Now, this one's not necessarily safe for work, not necessarily safe for children, so we're not going to play it online. I just thought that it was kind of funny, so I threw it up there. So, you know, you may not want to play it, you may want to. I mean, I think there's only one real swear word. There's a couple funny scenes in there, cartoon violence. It's from a program called Robot Chicken on the Cartoon Network, or I think it's on the Cartoon Network. I can't remember. Comedy Central, sorry. What it is it's Grand Theft Auto Mario style. So it's Mario and Luigi driving through, Claymation Mario and Luigi driving through one of the little worlds there. Then all of a sudden they make a right turn and they end up in like Liberty City or something like that. And then all of a sudden, like, they're trying to get mushrooms, and it's hilarious. So if you should watch it away from work, but it's definitely worth the time that you would spend. So I just want to link that up there, and hopefully you'll find it interesting. Then again, since, like I told you, we're trying to keep it switched up here, we're kind of throw stuff all over the place. The world's most high-tech urinal is in Victoria, British Columbia. Now, this is awesome. First you see it, now you don't. They have a problem at night with people breaking into the public urinals and kind of using them when they shouldn't be. They said, let me see what the problem is. Nighttime public urination's problem. So what they, Oh, I'm sorry, I have this backwards. So during the day, these things just look like giant manhole covers. At night, up pops the giant porta potty. Now, it looks pretty cool, looks kind of, you know, Star Trek-esque. But what I'm going to say is, what's going to happen when you have some homeless gentleman or homeless gentlewoman who wanders into one of these places and say, hey, you know, this is pretty spiffy, this is pretty clean. And they stay in there until it turns daylight. What's going to happen then when they're trapped 6 feet below the ground in a concrete casing? I don't know how that's all going to work, but it says 2 meters high, so it's pretty big, and it's kind of crazy. It says it's a $75,000 system. It's been installed across the Netherlands and sometimes in London and Belfast, but it's going to be Victoria is going to be the first North American city to try it out. Now, I think this would be really cool to have around sporting events, places, or, you know, place where there's usually a large crowd of people, because what you can do is you can just drop them down when, you know, it's like, I don't know, the end of July or something like that. There's nothing going on in the middle of the city. But, you know, during like a large concert on the streets or something like that, like I live in Philadelphia, so we had Live 8 here last year, I believe it was. And then a whole bunch of other big concerts. There's always big goings on downtown. So what you could do at that point is pull these things up out of the ground. And not only are they serving as the nighttime urination retreats, but they're also serving as kind of like a concert venue stopgap measure. It's like, all right, you might want to throw up all the ones on 4th Street because it's time to it's time to release the hounds. You know what I mean? But still, hopefully you're finding this interesting. If not, please let me know. Let's see what else we have. Like I said, we have all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Now, this is actually a really good idea, this next little gadget we have here. It's over from blog.sci-fi.com. It's called the EMI 911 R card. Now, what this is it has all of your personal information in it. Now, you have to, you know, buy one of these for roughly $80, and then it's $20 a year after the first year. You can go online, update everything. It has all of your medical records in it. So basically, all the ambulance would have to do is, you know, if you fall down the stairs or something like that, you are completely incapacitated. They take this card, put it into the little computer there, and they know all of your allergies. So they know that they can't be eating peanuts while they're trying to resuscitate you. I mean, it's a really good idea in theory, but then you look at it on the flip side, and all this data is kept online. How long do you think it's going to take hackers to break into this kind of system? So, it's really bad, but the world we live in, a lot of the cooler technology, a lot of the solutions to some of the bigger problems are really getting ruined by just a handful of people who just, I don't know, they have to screw up everything good. Just a couple rotten apples spoiling the whole internet, you know what I mean? But still, so I have a link up there. You can check it out. Looks pretty cool. I don't know. I guess if you have a serious medical condition, this would definitely be a great idea. And it'd be even better if your healthcare company could pay for it. I mean, because what happens if, like, you're an epileptic and you have a grand mal seizure and you happen to be allergic to penicillin or something like that, or, I don't know, some other strange confluence of incidents could possibly leave you incapacitated but at risk because of a common medication or something like that. I think your insurance company should definitely pay for this, because anything less would be, you know, endangering you. But then again, you're asking an insurance company to pay money. I really don't think it's going to happen, but still, it's kind of cool. Now we're back to the consoles, because I know there's a lot of people out there who've been asking me questions about this. Well, what's a good console to get? I'm just going to defer to the guys over at Gizmodo. Basically, they have another Frankenfight, which is where they take all the reviews from a lot of the major sources, Wired, CNET, PC Mag, Time Magazine, and Rocky, whoever that is. And they give you scores. Like, so all these, all three consoles have been scored, the PS3, the Wii, and the Xbox 360. Now, it gives you ratings and categories of design, graphics, interface, multimedia capabilities, the controllers, online play, you know, when you're just sitting there, and if you were, and then they have a category which I love. It says, if you were too lazy to read everything above this, basically it says that the PlayStation 3 is the final, is the bottom finisher here, basically because the price point is just way too high, and there's a couple glitches with it. However, supposedly it has awesome photo software, so you can like view your photos online. It's pretty cool. But they said the Wii slightly edges out the Xbox 360 based on price point and a couple little averaging problems they had. But still, I mean, the Wii is $250. That could easily show up under a lot more people's Christmas trees this year than an Xbox 360 at $400 or $500 and the PlayStation 3 at $500 or $600. So we'll still say, or, you know, $3,800, which is one of the ones on eBay I saw. Craziness. Now, if you got through all that and you have the next gen console, then you might have the problem that I do. We had the Xbox 360 upstairs and it was wonderful. I was gaming in high def glory. I had surround sound. It felt like people were attacking me from every which direction. And then my wife said, you know, you're playing a lot of video games. How about you do me a favor and just move it downstairs? And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm monopolizing the TV. And besides, I can turn it up a little bit louder if I'm in the basement. So I threw it downstairs, and we have a 27-inch standard definition TV. And I figured, all right, if there's two sets of cables with this, the high-def ones and the low-def normal TV ones, I'd be perfectly fine. Not the case. It's really hard to read some of the text in different games on a standard definition TV. So I'm like, all right, well, what I need is a projector or something like that. I need something cool down here so that I can see this in all of its high def glory. So they have an 80-inch glass panel TV. This is just awesome. It's a giant pane of glass that's hung suspended from your ceiling, and the image is shown in between two of the sandwiched pieces of glass. I mean, how cool can you get? I mean, I know the basement's a little small down here, but 80 inches, that's huge. That's like, that's insane. That's like 7 feet, almost, or 80 inches. Sorry. That's like 6.5 feet or something like that. Yeah, math is not my strong suit at this point in time. But still, I was like, all right, let me throw that up there. The only thing is, it starts at around $10,500. So that's probably not the best thing. But then again, if you have that giant glass panel TV, well, you don't necessarily want people staring at, you know, ugly speakers that are off to the side. Because, I mean, while the surround sound system we have upstairs rocks, I mean, it sounds like Top Gun is landing in your living room. It is definitely a high quality system, at least for my ears. And then, so you don't necessarily want people staring at ugly speakers. So the next link we have up here is hide your speakers in a picture frame. Basically, it uses the resonance from the glass, and you have to have glass, you can't use plexi, and you have to wire them through the walls, but it turns two pictures either side of your TV into speakers. I love this. This is awesome. This is a great idea. Especially if you're one of those people who has the svelte flat panel TV all stuck right up on the wall. Do you really want bulky speakers sticking out just because they make it sound pretty? No. You want something that matches the look of the TV. And you don't, of course, want to use the speakers that are on the TV. Please, how pedestrian. All right, and then after you get this, well, there's a problem called vampiric power. A lot of, you know, basically, it's even after machines have been turned off, they still suck a little bit of power. So, I mean, one of the biggest problems with this is, people having surround sound senses, systems, printers for your PC, monitors that you might accidentally leave on. What this is called a mini plug minder. If you have a multimedia PC or something like that, you hook a USB cord into this, and then you plug your computer or the power strip that runs your computer up into the top plug. Then the bottom plug, which is the secondary one, you can run a power strip or just, you know, plug whatever peripherals that you'd like to turn off at the same point. So as soon as you power down your computer, as soon as you shut down your computer, it automatically turns off the lower port so that it is impossible to use anything. Now, I was like, that's really cool. And this would definitely stop a lot of the leached power. Like, for instance, do I need three things upstairs in our little entertainment console showing me what time it is right now? No. Do I need tiny little LEDs that just little hashes across the DVD player letting me know that it's there? No, I don't. It'd be perfectly fine if we just turned it off. So this is like a really interesting idea, and it's just $15. The only problem that I have with it is that you need to have a computer computer attached to the top part so that the USB connection works. Otherwise, this would be perfect for any entertainment console. And now, if you're like me and you have a whole lot of plugs and a whole lot of everything else sticking around and you just can't find a way to plug all your little power bricks in, I heartily recommend you look at the next thing. Now, I don't have one of these yet, but I really, really want one. They're just awesome. It's called a Squid. Or the Power Squid Calamari. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 power outlets, just like a normal power strip. But instead of in a strip, they're literal like tendrils of power cables that come out. So it has a nice long cord, like a 6-foot cord coming out the one side. And then coming out the other side, there's 6 other power cords that have outlets on the end of them. It's perfect for AV. It's perfect for computers because, I mean, right now behind the computer that I'm using to record the caffeination, there's no less than like 4 power bricks. So I have, you know, little things set up all over the place so that I can still try and use everything and still try and have everything worked out. And I have to try and fit everything in and cram it in there nice and good, and it just doesn't always work. So I wanted to throw that out there and let people know about that. So, and then finally, in the console generational thing, somebody went out, took a PlayStation 3. Now, this could very well be... Actually, no, I don't think it is. I thought it was just a Photoshop job. The top picture is actually a Photoshop job, but somebody took a brand new spiffy PlayStation 3, one of those $600, $500 things. They hollowed it out and turned it into a George Foreman grill. Now, if you look at it, it kind of does resemble the same kind of design concept that's involved in the George Foreman grill. It's just, I can't believe that somebody would actually do this. I mean, there's only 88,000, so I guess there's 87,991 now, or 99 now, or whatever. Because I also think on Engadget, they actually smashed one just to see what would happen. Yeah, just to see what would happen. Great. Now, it's a really good thing, and the next thing that you see up on the caffeination is a little thing that said the feed should be updated. We already talked about that, so we're just moving right along. But, let's see, what do we have here? Yes, now, the next thing, the first thing I said when I saw this was something I can't repeat on a podcast that is clean, but it's like, holy hell. That's basically the idea behind this. Imagine a cordless mouse that does not sit on the mouse pad. It floats in midair. Everything about this thing is awesome. It has this sheen of like aluminum sitting on the desk for where the mouse pad is. And then the mouse hovers over the top. I mean, how cool is it? You definitely have to go over there and check it out because it just looks awesome. The only thing is it's $75. Now, some people think I'm a moron for spending roughly $21 on the mouse pad that I have now. Because, I mean, you can use anything for a mouse pad. But the mouse pad that I have now is called a RatPad GS. It's a hard polycarbonate substance that has all kinds of crazy stippling on it. But the mice literally glide right across it. It's so much nicer than using one of those felt pads or even one of those weird plastic pads that you get from Dell or Gateway or wherever. I mean, so I was like, okay, well, I could see, you know, that's a bit extravagant spending that much money on a mouse pad. But $75 on just a mouse, but what a mouse it is. So I'd heartily recommend that you go over there and give it a look-see because it's definitely crazy cool. All right, that just about wraps up the tech tidbits section here, and coming in at right under 34 minutes, it better damn well wrap it up. We have a little bit of general information. We might as well get to it right now. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. A really cool thing going on. Let's see what else we have. Oh yeah, our blog has been updated rather infrequently. It's the personal blog. So this past week, nothing doing. Ever since I think Election Day, nothing was on the blog. So I'd like to thank all the people who went over there and read it and sent me comments and everything like that. But it's just been one of those days or one of those weeks where it's like, you know what? I can't think of anything to actually put on this, so why am I gonna rack my brain when nobody's really clamoring for content, shall we say. And then finally, we have our two charities that we're going to be talking about all this season. One is Coffee for the Troops, and just to give you an update on what it is and how many cups they're at, basically, if you buy 1 4-ounce bag of coffee, this company will match your donation and send both of them over to the troops. I mean, how cool can you get? As of right now, they are at 1,456,816 cups donated to the troops. It's very cool. And then let's see what else. The other one we have here is Child's Play Charity. Again, there's no overhead in this. The guys who are over at Penny Arcade are eating all the costs. I mean, that's just awesome. They've been adding hospitals every day, so it's just cool. If you need a little bit more information, you can head on over to childsplaycharity.org, or use the link over at the Caffeination Podcast, which I would heartily recommend you head on over there and check it out, because I'm so proud of how it looks. All right, and that just about wraps up the general information here today. We have a celebrity from the PodSafe Music Network here, one who's been highly recommended by the Podfather himself, Adam Curry. This artist is unique in his styling because it's just uniformly good, shall we say. I haven't found any of his songs yet where I was like, you know what, I don't think I really want to put that out there. But I found a real good rockin' one to send us on our way here, and we're going to bring you right back with some caffeinated bits, then send you along your way permanently after that. Right now we have Matthew Ebel and his song Drive Away from the PodSafe Music Network, so let me know what you think.
Stood in between us. Now there's a curve in the road so sharp it'll make you bleed. We don't talk, we just punch the clock. Can't find each other in the same old gridlock. Maybe a little escape, what we need. Living your love and your work like a dog every morning. The city's a pain like the latte stain on your dress. It don't cost a dime to leave this town. Get on the road, cause we gotta get out of this mess. So let's drive away. Let the sunlight chase us all day. Nothing gonna stand in our way, yeah. Let's drive away. Song and I took it for granted. A bump in the road, not really a part of the drive. Come on, come on, it's alright. You made me believe tonight. It's love that makes it so damn good to be alive. Oh, so let's drive away. Let the sunlight chase us all day. Shops and the bar. Maybe, maybe it's too late. Maybe, baby, it's just me. Maybe you'll take my hand and we'll get in the car. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So let's drive away. Let the sunlight chase us all day.
All I got to say.
Let's drive.
Safe Music Network and his song Drive Away. Hope everybody enjoyed that. Again, it's just a, such a well put together song. Everything he does is just so well composed. So, I don't know. Sometimes you have to just sit there in awe and you go, wow, these guys aren't signed to a major label yet. Thank God, because I wouldn't be able to play them, right? But, I mean, although we have been getting some kind of cool stuff like Fall Out Boy and stuff like that, so we actually have played an artist on this show legally that appeared on the American Music Awards in the crap that they put on last night. But still, can you tell I'm not a fan? All right, now we have our caffeinated bits section today, so hopefully you're going to like this. The first image up here, we have something from Fox News, and no, it's nothing about politics or anything else, but it's called A Smart Coffee Maker Delivers the Weather Forecast. Now, I just thought this, it's a $200 coffee maker, which isn't really a lot when you consider gourmet coffee makers run roughly $150 to $200. So what this thing is it's a it's a coffee maker on one side, and then on the other side it receives, I guess, weather data through the internet. I can't tell. Like, there's not a real good link on it, so you can't really see, but it's a... It takes advantage of a wireless data system built by Microsoft to automatically display current weather conditions and forecast. This is awesome. And what they said is the concept of this is to make everyday objects and turn them into a delivery at a glance information. So, like, basically they're trying to make everything around you aware. Now, the only problem is going to be when Skynet turns everything sentient, and then everything's going to go downhill really quick. But, I mean, I just thought this was such an awesome idea, because, first of all, what's the first thing that you usually do in the morning? You drink your cup of coffee. And what's the second thing you do? You decide what you're going to wear as soon as you step out the door. Do I need the jean jacket, or do I have to go with the flannel thing with the fuzzy stuff on the inside? So, I mean, this is just such a good idea, and they're two topics that are mated so perfectly that I could really see this taking off. The price point might be just a little bit high, but it's definitely cool, definitely something I could see working in large quantities. I could definitely see people saying, you know what, we would really like this. So, nothing else you can say about that, really. So, we're going to talk about our newest recipe for the recipe section over at the Caffeination website. It's called Black Gold. Now, Black Gold is, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but basically, Black Gold is an amalgam of a whole bunch of different ideas that I had over a period of time. Now, I had talked about this before. This is the stuff that if you drink too much of it, and by too much, I mean you drink like 7 or 8 cups of this a day, or if you're drinking it over an extended period of time, you're going to start to get stomach pains because it's so strong. This is awesome stuff. So basically, the long and the short of this is it's a spiced coffee mixture. Now, I'm a big fan of using instant coffee to make things because it's readily available, and if you really want to, you can pack up the mixture, take it with you, throw it into a water bottle or something like that, add some water a little bit later on, shake it up, and there you go. All right, now the proper way to make this is you take the best instant coffee that you have. Now, I personally use Chock Full of Nuts just because I like the flavor, and it dissolves really well even in cooler temperature waters. We're going to go back over that in a little bit, but still, like next show or something like that. I mean, we're almost at 44 minutes here. We're not going to go back over it today. But you take the best instant coffee you have. Then you go out and you buy some instant espresso. Now, the brand that I first saw and that I had never seen before and that I still use today is Medaglia d'Oro. It's the gold medal brand instant espresso. It's awesome. Has a real light, fine, powdery look to it, and it's incredibly strong. So you take both of these, you put them at the bottom of the glass. You know, about a teaspoon of the instant coffee and about a half a teaspoon of the espresso. All right, now right now you've made your everyday coffee with a shot in it, right? All right. So then what you do is you take cinnamon powder or sticks and you sprinkle just enough to cover the entire concoction that's already in there. I'd probably say it's about a quarter teaspoon of cinnamon. Now you can take the sticks and grate them right over the top, and this makes a wonderful, wonderful fresh taste. And then you take ground cloves. You do the same thing here. Then you take sweetener. I pre-add it at all times. I never like stirring these things after they're done just because it all the spices and everything that you use kind of fluff up, and it gives you a nice foam right across the top, and you have to drink right through it. So then you take your sweetener. I personally use Splenda, but you can take Splenda, sugar, sweet and low, whatever else you want to do, mix it in there. Then you take a fork and you whip up the dry mixture, or fork, spoon, whatever else. You want to make sure everything is very thoroughly mixed. And now you boil water, or you get the hottest water that you can out of your tap, and as you pour it in, kind of tilt it like you're trying to pour a beer, so that you want to make the, as if you were trying to not have a head on beer. So what you want to do is you pour this really, really hot water nice and slow into the glass, and then as soon as you're up to the place that you'd like it, you set it off to the side and you just wait for it to settle down a little bit. You do not want to stir this because you're going to end up, you know, ruining the foam that's at the top of it. Once you drink it, I guarantee, you can sweeten to taste, but I guarantee this is going to be one of your favorite coffee drinks. Now, if you head on over to the recipe section at the Cafe Nation, you're going to find one, and I'm going to be posting pictures of it a little bit later on. Hopefully, you'll enjoy everything that we're trying to do here. Hopefully, you've enjoyed this episode. So, like I said before, if you're listening to this podcast at the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffination.com. If you have comments, suggestions, feedback, hate mail, whatever else, you can send it to caffination@gmail.com. Our MySpace friends account is over at myspace.com/caffination, which, by the way, we have a flash player over there, so if you're on MySpace and you'd like to listen to the Cafe Nation, you can select any one of the last 10 episodes and click that. It's awesome. And let's see what else. Our personal blog is over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.